votre quotidien. C'est sur Taïwan.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. It is an area which we call the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Trish McGregor and Rob McGregor, who's there, but okay. And our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to the mysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts where you can find out about our books. Among them are our phenomena, Harnessing Your Psychic Abilities, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, which you three souls know about, Sensing the Future and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, the Latest Science Stories and Research. If you're watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it's available to wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there.
Our guests today are three paranormal investigators, ghost hunters or investigators from the Pittsburgh area. They call themselves Three Souls Paranormal. They are Stephen Nolte, Frank Siri, and Mark Kessner. Welcome back, guys.
So the last time you were here in January, Missy Farnbeck was also with you. Is she ghosting you guys?
No, just a lot of things are happening.
That's a joke, guys.
No, Missy's still there, good for the bars.
Okay. Yeah,
we were still in contact. It's always been us three from the beginning, you know,
right.
And
that's why it's Three Souls Paranormal.
And she's been busy with things, still in her thing. So,
yeah. Okay. So I understand you were in Jamestown last night. Maybe you're still there, with a local, history society, and you're, doing an investigation of what was going on there.
Okay. Back in February, I contacted the Historical Society up at Jamestown, Pennsylvania, about this house called the Gibson House / Mark Twain Manor. Mark Twain, the author, actually stayed in this place. They emailed me back within like a day. Was so excited. They were looking for a paranormal team because they've been having claims of paranormal activity. And once we got the emailing back and forth, they invited us up in April to do an investigation there overnight. Beautiful place. It's 28,000 square foot.
Wow.
Is
Mark Twain there? His ghost?
We ain't catch him yet. But this is all new to them, you know, with the paranormal. And it was a very big, influential place on freeing slaves.
Had a lot to do with the Underground Railroad.
Right.
So back in July, we did another overnight investigation. That activity was ramped up tenfold. A lot of stuff was happening. But with that, the lady Anita, who runs it, she told us we have exclusive rights to this place as a paranormal team. So if any paranormal teams want to investigate, they'd have to go through us and for us to have the okay now. So we're going to fast forward to last night. We did a presentation there with people, donors and other people that were interested in the place. The presentation went well. And then we ended up doing some candlelight ghost walks with them last night and showed them the odd spots. And it is funny about the tour. Like there's a guy there that his name is Jim. He actually dresses up like Mark Twain.
Looks like him,
too.
Jeez. Does he work there?
Yeah, he works there.
Yeah, he's a while. Yeah, he's an older gentleman. He's probably in his 80s, like mid to late 80s. And very nice.
Awesome gentleman. Awesome.
So after your talk, what happened then?
The director, Evan, he took, you know, the participants that came for the presentation, he took them on a candlelight, you know, ghost tour throughout the property. And myself, Mark, and Frank, we went with them, but also was showing them how our equipment works and everything, you know, for the people who don't know nothing about the paranormal. And
tell them about some of our experiences that we had there.
So do you find when people, I'm getting a lot of feedback.
All right. It's fine.
Okay. So when you have people who aren't ghost hunters that are with you, do they expect there be a lot of action and not a lot of sitting around and waiting?
Well, we haven't really had that happen yet. Because coming up on the 18th and the 25th there, that's when we're doing an overnight investigation with these people coming in.
How many people?
They're selling tickets now, so we don't know how many people are going to be there as of right now. So they're hoping for at least 30.
Wow, that's a big group.
Yeah. I mean, because we'll split them off. Like, I'll take 10. Mark will take 10. Uh-huh. Frank will take 10. The place is 28,000 square feet. And plus, there's a carriage house on the other side of the property where one group could be at. So everybody ain't overlapping.
Yeah.
Wow.
What have you found there in the past?
Well, we've had a lot of fair amount of activity for not being a very well-known location. There have been a lot of stories of people who have, you know, stayed at the house. I was actually surprised the other night we were there. There was a lady that actually participated in the tour who actually lived in the house for 4 or 5 years. And she was telling everybody about the stuff that was occurring there. And she seemed to really enjoy the house.
Did she live in a 28,000 square foot house by herself?
She owned it.
She owned it.
Right? Oh, okay.
Her and her husband owned it. Yeah, so we were able to, that, and we actually found out some stuff from her that we didn't even know prior. But the house has changed hands a lot throughout the years. And so it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people loved the place when they were there. It's a beautiful place. It's basically like a museum whenever you walk in there. And it's very well kept.
Yeah, and actually it used to be a restaurant.
Right.
And that's what the lady had. Her name was Miss Pat. So, yes, she had it as a restaurant. But, of course, like anything else, in the winter, you know, it kind of died down. And she just couldn't, when her husband passed away, she just couldn't do it anymore because she couldn't do with the upkeep. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was surprised to learn that there were 25 paranormal conventions or paracons related to ghost hunting this year. What are they like, and how many have you been involved in?
We did 3 paracons this year. Crescent Penitentiary, our friends Dark Hall of Paranormal, they hosted it. The weather was kind of crappy. The turnout wasn't that great because of the weather. I mean, they're fun. You know, you get to meet new people, new teams of investigators from states that, you know, we haven't traveled to, and you make friends. And then the same team, Dark Hollow, they're on the board of the Nanny Glow Pennsylvania Historical Society. So they do a paracon at this place called the Liberty Theater at Nanny Glow, Pennsylvania. We was part of that. And that actually turned out to be bigger than the Crescent Paracon, and that's a penitentiary. And then August 9th, we did Gretchfest out here in East Liverpool, Ohio. That's the three paracons that we did this year.
Was this penitentiary, did it have a death, you know, a death chamber? Is that why there would be ghosts? Or
it was a sanitarium, too. First, it was a sanitarium. Okay. And then it was a hospital. Yeah, it was a hospital.
Okay. Right. And it was a medium security prison.
Yeah, medium security.
Yeah.
But there is, it's on 900 acres, that place, the penitentiary. And I think there's between 18 and 21 buildings that were house people.
Wow.
Besides the prison itself. It's like, this place is massive.
It's huge.
Yeah.
When was the prison disbanded?
2013, I think.
Oh, okay. Recently. That's pretty.
Yeah. I think it was 2013. Yeah. That's when they shut it down.
Right.
I wish you guys would come to Casadega, to the Casadega Hotel, which we know is haunted. You know, that would just be incredible.
Road trip.
Yeah.
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 We talked about that last time.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
We were talking about coming down.
Right.
But it just sucks because of work for all of us. It,
yeah.
Yeah.
Your plans for later this month is Gettysburg, right? Are you going to be there on Halloween?
Yes. Yes, we are. Halloween.
Is that a convention?
Gettysburg.
Or a talk, yeah. Investigation. What's going on there?
Well, with Halloween being on a Friday, we actually are investigating. Our big investigation is actually on Saturday, the day after Halloween. So November 1st, we're at the Wainworth Lodge. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Wainworth Lodge. It was Confederate Hospital, Confederate yeah. Soldier Hospital.
Fairly new to, they've just recently opened up.
Yeah.
We were actually talking to a group that was out at that Nancy Glow, at the Liberty Theater Paracon, and they've been there, and they said that's one of their favorite places to investigate. It was one of their most active locations.
Huh.
So we're excited to go. We're excited to experience our turn to experience it. Yeah.
Do you take pictures? What's the process?
You take 100 hours of video.
Yeah. Yeah. We have wireless security system. We have
video cameras.
Yeah. Between the three of us, we have over 20 video cameras.
God. That's a lot of video.
Yeah. Frank takes most of the pictures.
Right.
I don't take pictures because because most of the time we're live streaming. So I'm behind, you know, the vlogging kit and live streaming on YouTube or, you know, our platforms. And then Mark goes off on his own.
And I start going to town with my phone,
right,
snapping pictures.
Huh.
So,
and using your spirit.
About more film to stop. Jim,
finish.
What exactly is a ghost? Are they all dead people, or could they be something else?
Oh, that's a good question. You see, my personal opinion is, I believe that they're divided. There's a difference between a ghost and a spirit. I believe a ghost is something you can see. Mm-hmm. A spirit, you can't. You know they're there by seeing what they can do, hearing them. But yeah, that's my belief on the difference between a ghost and a spirit.
What about the idea of time slips, that they might be beings coming from slipping into from another time?
Me personally, I really haven't looked into that deep. Could it be possible? Yes. We don't know what's out there. There's supposedly some kind of alien aircraft coming towards its way in December.
Right.
It's it's true. Like they're talking about this. Scientists are talking about this aircraft flying through space right now,
yeah.
And they think it's going to come towards Earth in December.
Okay.
And they said this thing is huge.
Yeah, that's Aaron Loeb from Harvard who believes that it's.
Yeah.
Spacecraft, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, if it happens, I mean, it's something we're all going to witness.
Yep.
And who knows what's going to happen, but could things travel through time? Anything is possible.
That's where I'm at, too, yeah. Okay.
Well, we want you guys at that spacecraft, if that's what it is. I mean, you can say, hey, we haven't done aliens yet, but we're about to.
I'm going to tell you a little story. When I was 12 years old, me and my brother Rick, we was outside catching football, and I will put this on my dead sister, my dead dad's grave. I seen the UFO catching football.
Wow.
And my brother Rick will tell you, too. I caught this ball, and I looked up in the sky right above our tree line. Was this shit? It was just there. I was frozen. I couldn't move. Like, it was just the most craziest experience I've ever had in my life. And I 100% believe in alien life form. I do.
What happened to the football? Did they drop it?
No, I don't even remember. Like, it just, like, time stood still when I was looking at this shit. I literally don't remember what happened.
Huh.
And that was just a crazy experience.
Well, I believe, like Steve said, there's got to be other life form out there. We're here, you know, and Earth is a planet. So
if there isn't, if we're the only ones here in the universe, that's sad.
Yeah.
So have you ever been contacted by non-human entities in any of your investigations?
We've done use like spirit boxes and I know people say stuff about apps, but I have an app on my phone called Spirit Talker. We'll ask questions and things will come through it. Now that to me is making contact.
Yeah. And it's there. It's oftentimes it's something that's relevant, something we're talking about, and then something will come across to there. So it's like, well, it seems intelligent. Like it's trying to interact with us about something we're currently talking about.
Yeah. Like we were at the Mark Twain Gibson house, and we were down in the dining room downstairs, and we were all sitting at the table talking, and as plain as day, right next to Steve, you heard a whistle. You know, and we all heard it. We all heard the whistle, and it wasn't none of us.
Sure. Yeah, contacted. None of us has been physically assaulted by an entity that we couldn't see. I mean, we was at the Amos Judson house, something like grabbed my ankle, and that startled me.
Little things.
Nothing like
damaging, harmful.
Yeah.
So do ghosts have awareness? In other words, are they aware they are ghosts? How did they become ghosts? Is it a choice? Or do they exist somewhere else?
I know there's definitely
haunting.
Yeah, we've definitely, like I said, this goes hand in hand with what I was saying about there's some that seem intelligent
There's some
responses we get. It seems like they're hearing what we're hearing. You know, they hear us talking and say something that's very relevant to the conversation that we're having. So that pretty much shows right there that they're intelligent.
Do you record this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we do get on recording. Sometimes we don't. You know, that's like, again, back to the Mark Twain house.
Yeah.
I had two SD cards that came up corrupt. But they were actually recording all night. Showed it was recording. Went to go play them back. Files empty. Mm-hmm. No, nothing.
The first time we went and investigated there, we had a lot of battery drain issues as well. So it seems like something there is affecting the equipment.
Well, when you get a ghost voice, what does it sound like? Does it sound human? Or
can sound? Yeah, it can sound human. A lot of times what we actually like to do a lot of times whenever we're, have a full overnight somewhere is we'll just go quiet, go dark and just listen. Mm-hmm. And that happens frequently where we'll hear voices. They don't sound very loud, but you can hear them and they sound as real as you and I.
I mean, when we do our investigations, we do not provoke. I mean, we don't do seances. Right. We don't do any kind of rituals, nothing, Ouija boards, nothing like that. But then we also know when to stop pushing it. Like I said, when we ask our questions and we get little answers or none, like Mark said, that's when we stop and just listen. Because I have a feeling the ghosts or spirits, they were human at one time too. So, you know, we try to treat them as they were human. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to sit there and perform like a dog to you. You know, you just sit back and wait. And they're like, okay, they're now that these people are ignoring us, you know, let us know, let us make some noise or do something to make them know we're still here.
So. Uh-huh. Yeah, our dog's here. Speaking of dogs, he wants to know what's going on.
he's not used to us sitting together at Trisha's.
He's like, oh, this is crazy.
During an investigation?
What's that again?
We are getting frightened.
Have you ever been frightened?
So, startled. Yeah, we get startled.
And that's an adrenaline rush, you know, and that okay. I'm afraid of heights. So being alone somewhere or in the dark, that's my adrenaline rush. But your senses, every sense gets heightened. You feel different temperature changes within the room or the building. Just on July 19th, when we was at the Gibson house, we were all sitting in the this dining room. And right to the left of me, right behind Mark, was this doorway and a stair to go to the third floor. And it literally just kept, felt like there was somebody in that hallway just like staring at us. And, you know, chills all over the body. And you're like, oh, man, there's something there. Something's about to happen. And then we had the Spirit Talker app on and words were coming through. And then it sent a name, Baron. And it was weird because a few years back, we investigated the Lemoyne Crematory, and that's the very first crematory ever built in the United States. And the first person that was cremated, his name was Baron DePaul. And I was like, it can't be Baron DePaul, you know, from the crematory. And the REM pod goes off.
Right after that,
the REM pod goes off, and I'm like, why would that go off when I say his name? Like, is he traveling around? Like, is his spirit just like traveling to places, or is he, you know,
attached to us?
Because we all been there,
right?
Is he just following us? Is he watching over us? Is he making sure we're okay? And this place has a carriage house where they kept slaves at, you know, from being free. Mm-hmm. And they had horses, you know, in this place. And at night, and you're in your pitch black, it's definitely creepy in there. Yeah.
And it's active, too.
It's very active.
Well, you said they had horses in there. Are there spirits of horses?
See,
you hear?
We've left cameras in there, you know, for 10, 11 hours. And on a couple audio clips, if I could break them down, I will send Rob some audio clips. The one, it does sound like there's a horse stomping and going. One does sound like it. It's kind of weird. I'll break them down and I'll send some clips to you guys. Okay.
Disembodied voice of John. But yeah, please do send those because I'm going to have to do some creative editing with this episode anyway. So maybe I could get those in when we.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so that'd be something good to include.
Yeah, for sure. I'd have to go back and find out which SD cards are on. But I have them all written down, like all the video files and all the, you know, things that happened. I could do that, and I just got to figure out which SD card it's on.
Okay, so we can have a horse as a ghost. What about haunted objects like dolls, clowns?
Yes.
You want to talk about the haunted dolls, right?
Okay. We went to this one place called the Bergen House. It was up in New York. And as we were investigating up there, the owner up there, Katie, right? Kathy. She had said she had two haunted dolls there. So process of the night, she brought them down, put them in the middle of the table. And I asked two questions. I said, are you upset that Kathy brought you over here and put you in the middle of the table from your resting spot? And a little voice went, no, just like that. God. And then we were like, we all heard it. And we were like, are you upset that we are here investigating the place? And it was like, yes, you know, just like a little dull voice. But we had recorders going, cameras, everything you could think of. We didn't catch nothing on any piece of equipment that we had.
Interesting.
Even though we all heard it in the room.
Yeah.
So even a recorder didn't catch that.
Nothing picked that up. I wish it did.
Really?
It did pick up the footsteps, though.
Yeah, it picked up. Yeah, it picked up. Myself and Mark had body cams on. Frank had his night vision camera rolling. I had a EVP recorder, a voice recorder recording. And I think, Mark, you had one too. Yeah. One of these guys had another. Nothing was picked up. But the room behind where I was sitting, it felt like the Hulk was running through the room into the room where we was at. And this footsteps were so loud. And it was thumping, like it shook the floor. It startled me so bad. I jumped up, put my hands up like we were about to fight.
It was loud.
It was loud.
Well, and I know Trish and Rob have told the story on the podcast before, but that sounds like, wasn't it Casadega where y'all had the experience with the footsteps coming down the hall?
Yeah. And they were loud.
Yeah. And it sounded like heavy boots and maybe chains too. I mean, it was just like the classical haunting, something coming right down the hall
towards our door.
And this was a frightening experience because the door handle jiggled. I mean, and we got, and our daughter was about a year old and she was sleeping in bed. So there was no way I would open that door. So in fact, what we did is we pushed a dresser in front of the door.
Not that's going to stop anything, but
it seemed to work. It was just the feeling that was coming through that door that was very, very dark.
And the next day I went down to the clerk and I said, "Do you have ghosts?" "Oh, yes, they're friendly." I said, "This one wasn't." And she said, "Oh, really?" And I was like, "Okay, we'll take that to account."
And the thing is, we were the only ones staying in the hotel. So,
yeah, it was bike week in Daytona. So all the tourists.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you guys, you would love this place.
Yeah.
I mean, I never been to the hotel
from the built in the 1930s.
I'm sorry, what?
I've been to Florida a few times. It's beautiful. But I've never been to Florida.
Florida. But you can also get a psychic reading there because everybody who lives there either communicates with the dead or they're psychic. So
mediums.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
The thing
with me, what startles me the most is shadow people.
Ooh.
Shadow people. They've invested when we big time. So, no. But what can you do?
Mark
had a good one.
Yeah, the same place we were talking about where we went to last night, actually. Whenever we went back in July at the Gibson house, it was pretty quiet around 12:30, 1 o'clock. These guys actually went to go take a little rest from, you know, since we were there all night. So I went up the staircase to one of the landings by the third floor, and there's this doorway behind me. And the door was shut, so I'm sitting there running the spirit box, starting my dowsing rods first. Got a little bit of activity on that. Then I just decided to attempt with the spirit box to ask questions, see if I get any responses back. I had the camera sitting on the stairs facing towards me and just asking questions. I was doing it for at least 20 minutes or so. And then out of the blue, the door behind me that was shut opens on its own. Startles me.
Creepy.
And yeah, it was one of the most startling things I've experienced in a while.
Especially if you're by yourself, right? You were alone. Right. So.
Yeah. Huh.
I can send you that clip. I can send you that clip for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anytime something like that happens, we immediately go into trying to debunk it, trying to explain it away, mm-hmm. make sure, you know, we're not just looking for stuff that isn't there, and couldn't debunk it. Hmm.
How long have you guys been working together?
Mm-hmm. myself and Frank, we've been together since 2013. We didn't have a team name or nothing. We just went out and did it, you know, for fun. And then about 2020, we came up with a team name. That's how Three Souls Paranormal came up. And then myself and Mark, we was in the YouTube chat together. So, you know, a ghost hunting team from, I think, like California. Yeah. And we're just sitting there talking. And I'm like, hey, you know, my name is Steve. Like, where are you from? He's like, Crescent, Pennsylvania. I was like, no crap. I live in Neville Island, which is like 8 minutes away.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And he's been with us ever since. Great. Me, you know, 2020.
Yeah, so all together, been 5 years now. We've all been doing this. But we've been doing it. I've been about 15 years I've been doing this. So we all kind of got into it around the same time.
Do you all have regular jobs?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Well, what do the people you work for think about all this? Do they know about it?
Well, my boss, Michelle, our office manager, she goes Bigfoot hunting.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. She's big into Bigfoot. So she's all about what we do. People don't mind. They're interested. They don't look at me funny or nothing. You know, I mean, they're like, oh, where are you going to this weekend? Like, I know we're, you know, we have nothing to book. But, you know, I got, I don't know, 65 SD cards with footage on it. And I could just review all the footage and just upload videos. I got enough videos for a year. we don't even have to go out anywhere and go investigate. We got enough footage.
What about you, Mark? You have a job?
Only a few people really know I do this. I don't really mention much outside of, you know, but overall, I think it's kind of a cool niche, you know, to be into and stuff. But yeah, overall, it's been good feedback from everyone.
That's good. How about you?
Guys at work, they go crazy. There's a lot of skeptics there. You know, it's some are like, I guess it could be something because, you know, there is unexplainable stuff. But some of them are like, a lot of the guys I work with are big skeptics. They're not like, I don't believe in that. I'm like, come on. Won't we come with us one time?
Yeah. Oh, I got something to do.
Right.
So how did you get interested in the first place to pursuing this topic?
Left night, 1995, my sister passed away. I explained this before, but she died July 16th, 1995. And on July 18th, 1995, I'm laying in bed, you know, just like shook, broken hearted, you know, 15 years old. And my sister is standing in the bedroom with me. And I know that, you know, I'm 15. I'm old enough to know that you're not with us anymore. And my middle name was Scott. And she's like, Scott, next time you see me, I'm taking you with me. And that was it. And she left. And ever since then, you know, the paranormal, you know, I've been into it. But I was so young, didn't do none of it. But 2003, I started going to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I'm doing like the ghost tours around the Jenny Wade house and the farm, and then seeing the activity, you know, in those places that long ago. And Gettysburg is my favorite place by far. I've been there over 40 times. I can't get enough of that place because there's things there that I haven't even seen yet. And I've been there going so long and the town ain't big, but there's just so much there. They're opening up new houses for investigations. Huh. Like we said, the Renworth Lodge where we're going to be going to. This company is called Ghost Adventures USA. They just opened up this place called the Brick House and the Welty House. They're open up for investigations now. There's just so much more places that are opening up there for investigating. It's unbelievable.
Good.
What about ghosts being urged to move on? Have you been involved in that, or What do you think about that process of people who...
I mean, do you do that?
We do not, like, cleanse or stuff like that. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we don't. We'll go investigate, but we don't. Yeah. Our cleansing is out of our...
Out of our realm.
Yeah, expertise. Yeah. Yes.
Expertise.
Yeah. 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 I mean, do we have sage for ourselves, like sage and like holy water and stuff? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had that for ourselves, but I can't, I don't know any rituals that say you can't be here. I don't know how to go about that, you know, because we really don't do residential investigations unless somebody is in dire need and they need at least some kind of proof that they're not, you know, losing their mind about things.
Yes.
But other than that, we really don't do residential. We do, you know, more local historical society places. And, you know, if they get interested in the paranormal, we can go in and, you know, and we can tell them if it's haunted or not, if we capture anything, and we'll show them what we do or don't have. And then they can go from there. And if they'd want, you know, other teams to go in and check it out, that's pretty much what we do. Or we'll go to, you know, some bigger places, a couple of penitentiaries and stuff like that.
What about Gettysburg? Can you talk about some of the events or things that have happened there that people have experienced?
In terms of hauntings? Or
yeah, or in terms of hauntings, of course.
Well, people have seen, like, soldiers, like,
right.
And now going out of the woods, and they look like they're in battle. And
yeah, you have a lot of people that think, oh, there's a reenactor, and it's not a reenactor. Yeah. So, spirit.
Cannon shot, cannon blast, you could hear. You know,
we've experienced that ourselves. We have experienced that ourselves.
Yeah. You
know. That actually happens. It's a frequent occurrence in Gettysburg, is you'll hear cannon fire. It sounds like it's off in the distance. And a lot of times people will say, oh, well, it's a reenactment, or they're just, you know, Civil War reenactors firing off a cannon. But what a lot of people don't realize is that happens very rarely. Very rarely. Because these guys were actually in Gettysburg. I wasn't able to go that time. And they texted that they had heard cannon fire. And I went online and looked. I just Google searched Civil War reenactments today, Gettysburg. Nothing came up. So there was no explanation for any cannon fire that they heard that day. But I think that does happen a lot. But people assume, like I said, that it's a reenactment. But that does not happen as frequently as people think it. Yeah.
Have you ever talked to the people who work there?
They have national park tour guides. They deal with their own thing, like tour groups and all that. But I mean, you can walk around. I mean, you walk around and you can see people in like a Confederate Union clothes. They are reenactors, and they'll explain like the things that they see and hear out on a battlefield.
Even the shop people.
The shop.
Yeah. We've got lots of stories. People just, you know, the shop owners.
And the day we heard the cannon blast, we were actually Steve and I were at Jenny Wade's.
Mark, you was with us that day.
Yeah, Mark was with us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were at the cemetery where Jenny Wade was buried, where her burial site is.
Right. And this other couple even heard it, too, because they were walking through the cemetery. And they were like, what was that? You know?
You guys need to write a book.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
Well, and just real quick, I can attest to that. I mean, Civil War battlegrounds seem to be, you know, especially in this country, certainly consistent experiences across all of them. I grew up in North Alabama, and we used to take field trips to Shiloh, the Battle of Shiloh in Tennessee. Very similar stories that we would hear, you know, that you could still hear the echoes of the battle there and stuff. And yeah, and there was something spiritual about it, you know, so we'll see.
Where was this, John? Shiloh?
Shiloh, Tennessee. Yep.
Interesting. Now, when you saw your sister, did you tell your parents about it?
No.
No?
No. Because hearing that, I was just confused on what happened. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I was 15, I was young, you know, teenager, still grieving, you know, like, I mean, I still grieve to this day. It's been 30 years, but I just never said it to my parents, you know, my mom. It just, I don't think she needs to hear about that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, still 30 years later, I still don't think she needs to hear that.
Yeah, that's interesting. How old was she?
23 when she passed away.
Oh, so she was.
Yeah.
Interesting.
My mother, who is, she's passed on, was quite sensitive. And after my father died, she picked up things. One time in the laundry room, there was this, like, globe of light that was just hovering there, and she felt it was him. And another time in the winter, she lived in Minneapolis, there was ice on the window of right outside of the den where my father used to sit, and in the ice was the letters MAC, and that was his nickname, Mac.
Oh, wow.
But the strangest thing is she saw him coming into the den, appeared to be physical, and he was wearing this orange striped shirt. And she looked at him and said, "Where did you get that shirt?" And he smiled and disappeared.
He had a sense of humor, your dad.
Yeah, like I said, that was the only time I seen a full body apparition. You know what I'm saying? But like, if we're ever out doing an investigation, and I seen one of them, I literally think I would probably quit. Like, I don't know what I would do. That's something I don't want to see. I don't want to see it.
Part of me does. Part of me doesn't. Like Steve said, it's like what pushed me away from this, or just bring me in deeper.
Yeah, that's an interesting. That's yeah, an little, interesting idea that, too, yeah. That it would. You don't want to see it. You maybe are open to it. What about you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm pretty much with Franklin. I'm not sure how it would be. It would be either one way or one extreme or the other, probably.
Like the old saying, "Be careful what you wish for."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that's something that I think would probably get me in deeper, to be honest.
Yeah, right. I mean, we don't know until it happens. Until it happens. I mean, and that's me speaking right now. But who knows? If I see it, I might want to chase it down, you know? Like, let's talk.
Let me interview you.
let's talk.
We've done talk to people who, have actually seen, like, full body apparitions, you know, and just stood there and, okay, one didn't want about their thing, you know, like people that worked in jails, you know, hospitals and asylums, you know. I don't know. See, like I said, I don't know how I could be with that, you know. I scared the hell out of you first, and then I'll go deeper.
It also depends on, I mean, if you're seeing the ghost of somebody who was in an asylum, that could be pretty freaky, I would think.
Right. I mean, we have captured pictures of, you know, like outlines of mists and things like that, you know, and nothing visual with the eye yet.
And like I said, we've heard stuff like right around us.
Right.
Ears all ringing, you know, so it's like.
Where I've had contact is shortly after somebody who has died, who I've known, appears to me in a dream, or sometimes it's just a message. When Trisha's sister died, she came to me in a dream where the whole family was meeting.
This is the 2023.
Yeah, in grieving. And she came to me with this message and said, just in a very kind of dry, straightforward voice, "Neil will be married again in 1 year." And so I mentioned this to somebody, and everybody said, "Don't tell Neil that."
He was her husband. But what's interesting, about a year after she had died, it was maybe a year and a half, I got an email from him saying he had met somebody on Match.com and he'd gotten married again. So her what was told Rob wasn't all that far off.
Yeah, I think he had maybe met her shortly after a year, and a year and a half, they were married. The ugliest thing, she also looks like the former.
Oh, I don't. We haven't met her yet. I mean.
But yeah, we have, we are looking into places for next year already. Like this year was almost a total bust for us. We didn't do much besides, you know, a couple of Paracons and getting involved with the Gibson House. But I've been in contact with a couple of places for next year. So hopefully 2026 will be a better year.
I'll put you in touch with somebody at the Casadega Hotel, because that's a real interesting place, just the history of the place.
Well, that's what we've been also discussing, too, is trying to venture out more, you know. So.
Yeah, because I imagine there are a lot of haunted places on this planet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even just from, you know, like, dates all the way back to the Native Americans and, you know, all of them fighting in their wars and killing. So this land is on it all around. And it's not even owns. It's just the land itself. And we know Native Americans are so spiritual. So, I mean, they bring that energy with them probably into the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. And like Steve said, and like you asked, we all have full-time jobs. Uh-huh. And that's hard to... You know, just to
it's hard to
take that time to hit the because it's like we're not big or like a TV show where they got sponsors that pay them to do this. You know, some people are naive and think, oh, we see this TV show, it's an hour long. That people are at a certain place for like maybe a week or. No, before they gather all their evidence for a one-hour show, you know, like us with jobs, we just can't do it. It's hard to do. Yeah. We can't do that. You know,
that's the next step for you guys. That's a good goal.
Well, it could have been a reality last year. I got screwed over from a RV incident. Last July, I was supposed to buy an RV for $4,500. The guy sold it out from underneath me.
Aw.
Yeah, right? So
that's a shame.
Yeah, it would have been RV trips, you know, around the country and investigating places. Things could have changed, but we still got our jobs.
Keep that as your goal, guys. Right. I'd love to see the three of you on TV. That'd be wonderful.
Have a job where they really love what they're doing, you know?
Right.
I mean, what you do on the side, you know?
Yeah.
It's not saying I don't like my job. My job's good, but they treat us good there. But it's like, I love the investigations and doing all this. So it's like, if somebody came along and said, hey, I can guarantee this, you know, something to think about, you know? It'd be like, hey, you know? You ain't got to worry about payment for this, and this. You know?
Right. Right.
We'll take care of you. And like, okay.
That'd be cool.
I think that people watch those documentaries, Ghost Hunting Gus documentaries, see all this activity in 1 hour and think they walk in, they're recording. But really, like you said, they could be there a week and a lot of hours where there's nothing happening.
Mm-hmm. They could be there like a Monday, get a few things, Tuesday, Wednesday, nothing. And then Thursday, probably, by the time they edit everything, you got an hour show.
and just like what we had to do last night with this presentation at the Gibson House, I have over 100 hours of footage from there. They needed me to break it down for a 25-minute video.
25-minute video.
Yeah. Yes. For a presentation. So I watched about 60 hours of footage so far, and I still got like 40 to 50 more hours to even review. And Ali had, you know, but with just cameras rolling in the carriage, as like I said, there is 15 hours of footage just from absolutely unexplainable noises, you know, equipment going off, it's a whole, you know, I could let it run for a whole day just on a camera sitting still.
Sounds and, like you need to take a couple of sick days and listen to the.
I got them coming up at the end of the month for dinner, but, but I do most of my reviewing on the weekends. You know, I work Monday through Friday. I drive a truck. So on the weekends, I'll, if I'm not sleeping, I'll get up and get on the laptop and start watching footage from a place that we did 3 years ago that I hadn't. I'm Monday through Friday. No.
More. Yeah, I'm off Saturday. So it's, you know, I work, well, I'm off Mondays and Saturdays usually. So
my have you ever partners. Found a haunted truck like or a car like in Christine, like in Stephen King's story?
That's not. No.
No.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
it could be dangerous.
If I did, it'd be also... nice to.
Like maximum overdrive was that on was Christine on steroids. So, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
James Dean. James Dean's car. What? Was, oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
The spider.
Yeah. They say that car was cursed.
Yeah. It was another actor told them, looked at that car and said, "Don't ever drive that car," and he did, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never heard that story. I
never heard that.
No.
Yeah, James Dean. Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. That's a bright note to.
Well, we're talking about the dead, John.
Well, I mean, that's still. Anyways, all right, y'all go ahead. Figure this one out.
So, how can people contact you if they want to have you come?
Come and investigate.
You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Three Souls Paranormal, Instagram, Three Souls Paranormal. Okay. But there's going to be two different types of Three Souls Paranormal because my ex-wife ran one page and I run the new one.
Okay.
So the O, instead of being a letter, it's the number. It's the number zero.
It's the number zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for Three Souls, it's always the numeral okay. Three.
Yes.
T-H-R-E-E-S, yeah. Three, yeah.
Yeah, so Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We have to get a Twitter account up.
Yeah.
More.
Yes.
Now, do you have a website, too, or not?
I'm actually working on that right now.
Right okay. To say.
Yeah, I need a website.
We need a website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I first started doing this, about with to get the Three Souls started with Facebook, I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and I put it as a private group. Well, once you put it as a private group on Facebook, you can't go back to make it public.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But if you make it public, you can turn around and make it private. You can't do it reverse. So that's where I screwed up at there. And it's a group page, not a right. page. You could also do a Facebook page too, you know, so I really don't want to mess with the followers I have on Facebook. I don't want to play with it too much because everybody be getting confused and then running all around the place.
But website. Yeah,
on TikTok too, right?
We're gonna
The TikTok I do yeah. is not, it's not Three Souls Paranormal, it's Frank Siri,
right?
From Three Souls Paranormal,
okay. Right?
I'm starting a Wix.com website for us. I'm gonna start that, hopefully this week. Because we have so many pictures and little clips that you know we want to get out there to the world. So that's gonna happen this week, and then, hopefully we can get together and get new business cards, but with just a QR code on it.
Yeah,
instead of having personal email addresses and everything else, so there's going to be changes like that way for us.
That'd be good to go with the website.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going and it's going to be wintertime soon up here in Pittsburgh. It'll be snowing 100 inches you know? And cold. Yeah, cold.
Yes.
So we'll have all winter to tinker with this, and then get ready for the springtime next year. And everything will be different for us with the new website, with new business cards, with QR codes, all yeah. it, everything else.
hopefully start.
Maybe your website will be haunted.
Yeah, right. That'd be pretty cool. Next year, we can do. I would like to have a goal about, like, get you guys talking about at least doing one thing a month.
That would be,
you know, just one thing a month. And even if it's close to home, if it's something, the place we've done already, fine. We'll do it again. Cause like I said, it gets cold up here. The weather could be tricky. We don't want to try driving on the roads up here. Yeah. You know, just find somewhere kind of local to do. And then as the weather progresses to be nice, we can start venturing outwards, you know, and start doing our thing. But it'd be nice to get one thing a month, you know. So that's good video coverage, you know, growing on.
We need an email for you guys.
Yeah. Well, and also, maybe during the winter months would be a good time to plan a trip to Casadaga.
Yeah.
All in the winter, let's go.
Well, combine it with Orlando.
I got to say something about that. Okay. I fly.
Yeah, I fly too.
I'll draw it.
Great talking to you guys.
Yeah, send us an email. Because we need some way to contact you. I am going to contact somebody at the hotel, and I need to.
Okay, I'll get the emails off of these guys. I might have my business cards, but I'll send Rob over all of our.
Okay.
Okay. That sounds good.
Steve, it sounds kind of screwy, but when we got our business cards, it has all three of our emails on the back, and I usually tell people, if you're going to email one of us, email all three of us.
Yes.
Because the reason I've been saying that is because, okay, if you email me and say I'm on vacation and these guys want to get together, do their thing, go for it. But if I'm on vacation and I'm not answering you because I'm doing things with family or something like that, I don't want you to feel that you're being ignored.
Right.
So at least if you email, just you don't have to rewrite everything. It's just a paste and copy, you know, and you send it all through. At least somebody's getting back with, even if it's two of us, or, you know, that way you don't feel you're being ignored.
Thanks for joining the Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening. And stay mystical. Yeah.